I love that song. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching, right? We're marching toward God's heavenly home for us. And there are so many places along that path, right? And today is Confirmation Sunday. That's a milestone, isn't it? It's a milestone. A milestone is a marker on the way. So we always have to ask, when you're done with confirmation, are you done with the faith? No, you're not, because what are you doing? You're marching to Zion, right? You're headed to the city of God, the people of God, on the way to the city of God. Confirmation is not graduation. Confirmation is not completion. The same as once you're done with confirmation and you've gone to a couple of the pastor's Bible classes. Are you now done growing? No, as long as you draw breath in your lungs, you're marching, you're walking forward, making progress in the Lord, right? And that is what we are going to think about this morning. I want to think about, actually, all three scripture readings we read. I don't usually preach on all three, but it's Confirmation Sunday, and you're thinking, what do you want to say to the kids? And the next thing you realize is everyone here is a kid. Some of you are a 70-year-old kid, and some of you are a 50-year-old kid, but you are a kid in the Lord's sight. And so I want us to notice these things. Take a peek. We're going to look at them in order. Ezekiel chapter 17. We started at verse 22. Whenever you start at verse 22, don't you want to know what happened in the preceding 21 verses? I'm not going to read them all right now, but I want to say that if you read Ezekiel 17, 1 to 21, there's a couple parables there, and this Old Testament prophet talks about an eagle swooping down and taking a branch off of a tree and flying away and putting it somewhere else, and you're probably reading it, scratching your head, what on earth? And it's always beautiful when the text explains it. The first half of the verses give you the parable, and the second half of the verses explain the parable, and it says to the people of God, this is the kingdoms of the world. This is the kingdom of Babylon, and I don't want to switch to a history lesson here. I just want us to notice this. Israel is the people of God, right? They're marching to Zion too. But that is a rocky and twisty and windy road. They are marching to Zion, and the people of God, Israel, is a big or a small nation? Small. And she is surrounded by Egypt and Babylon. And those countries are always meddling in their affairs. And again, I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to say this to all of us here. As God would say to them, he would say to us, whatever else is going on, God is at work. All right? Whatever else is going on. Ezekiel 17, 1 to 21, because our minds are so focused on circumstances, they would say, Lord, we are a tiny little nation. We are the plaything of the rich and the powerful. And Ezekiel 17, 22 says this. This is what the Lord says, right? Does it not feel like we, as a people of God, we feel small compared to our circumstances, and it feels like all kinds of stuff is swirling around us? Always, that's true, but lately especially. And doesn't it feel like, Lord, what on earth is going on? It's not wrong to notice your circumstances. It is just wrong to let them govern you, because the Bible says this. This is what the Lord says. So whatever your circumstances are, look around you, notice them, but notice that God is at work, and when God speaks, he's about to act. So that's the first thing, whatever our circumstances. Whatever else is going on, God is at work. But the other thing I want us to notice is that whatever else is going on is still about Jesus. Because we read Ezekiel 17, 22 to 24. The kingdoms of the earth interfere with Israel, but God says, I myself will take a shoot from the top of the tree. A tender sprig. Who should you be thinking of? That's Jesus. Jesus to be taken to the city of the Lord, the mountain heights of Israel. That's talking about Mount Zion. It is a mountain where Jerusalem is, where the Lord was crucified. Right? That's what it's talking about. This is an Old Testament prediction. I'm going to take a tender sprig and I'm going to plant it on a high and lofty mountain. That's your Savior on the cross on Mount Zion. In the words of Ezekiel. And he says that when I plant that tree, birds of every kind will rest in it. Birds of every kind means people of all kinds of appearances and backgrounds. Every nation, tribe, and tongue is going to be coming to Christianity. Is that true? Yeah. It's cool to know the largest religion on the face of the earth is Christianity. And all colors and all languages and all tribes and beautiful buildings and cathedrals and much less than that gather together and say it's about Jesus. So, what's the Old Testament about? It's about Jesus. What are the Old Testament prophets speaking about? Jesus. What's the Old Testament sacrificial system about? Jesus. Same thing, whether you're 12 or whether you're 72, what's it about? It's about Jesus. And because it is about Jesus, I hope you noticed in the epistle, it's kind of funny how the readings flow together. It's about Jesus, the one who fills the prophets, whatever our circumstances. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, and it's very simple to get it. You can say it in four words, the message. You will live forever. It's about Jesus, crucified on Mount Zion, as promised by God, and because of that, you will live forever. For how long? Forever. Paul says, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. A tent, a building. A tent is temporary. A building, right? Different thing. What is the earthly tent? This one. It's kind of frail. And I notice over time it gets increasingly frail as you go. Paul says, meanwhile, we groan in this tent. It's hard to convince young people of that because their tent is getting better as they go. My tent, I look in the mirror and I say, where is my hair? And when the Bible says groan, I don't think that's a metaphor. I notice that when I get up out of the chair, there are sounds going on, right? I groan as I get up. We groan, but this is the thing. This isn't the final thing. In this tent we groan, we have a building from God. That's the city of God. That's Mount Zion. We're marching to Zion. We're marching to get that body. How long are we going to live in that body? Forever. I always love it. C.S. Lewis says this, we are in the presence of immortal beings right now. Not eternal. God is eternal. Forever backwards, forever forwards. But everyone in this congregation, everyone you meet, all the people you bump into during the week, they are immortal beings. Once you're born, you live forever. We forget that. We can sometimes trivialize people. We can sometimes treat people less than they deserve. They're immortal. Immortal. Everything we do has consequences for eternity. And St. Paul says, this is a matter of faith, not sight, for 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. You know why? I haven't seen heaven. Have you? We're marching to Zion. Are we there? No, we're in South Carolina. It's close, but not heaven, right? But this is what Paul says. We live by faith, not by sight. Faith means I trust that it's true, but I just haven't seen it and held it in my own hands. We live by faith, not by sight. And so he twice says, we're confident. Did you notice that? Verse 6, we're confident. Verse 8, we're confident. Are we confident in the Lord, right? Then we're saved in Christ by his grace and his mercy, his cross and his resurrection. We're saved. If I were to say to the young, if I were to say to the middle-aged, if I were to say to the older, how is it, if I don't see it, how am I going to make myself increasingly confident? You know what that is? That's remaining connected to the Word of God and the people of God, right? You probably know this, that the people and the situations we're connected to are pulling us in their direction. Maybe not overnight with kids, we call it peer pressure, but is there peer pressure among adults? Among us all. So please hear this again. The people and the situations that we are connected to are pulling us in their direction. Not immediately, but they are. So who picks what people and situations I'm in? I do. Right? I do. So how about church and sacrament and word? And brothers and sisters in Christ, being around you feeds my faith, right? Being with other believers feeds my faith. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 has four parables, and this morning's pericope, we only read two of them. The two of them are called the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. I want us to notice a couple things about them. The parable of the growing seed. Does God want us to grow? Yeah. Whether you're 12 or you're 52 or 72 or 92, God wants us to grow. Hear these words. This is practically my theme verse for confirmation. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wish we all knew that verse, right? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:3, St. Paul says, I planted the seed. There's that metaphor again. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Right, that the people around us are God's tool and his servant, but God gives the growth. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow. And Hebrews 6:1, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. So are you done growing? No. No, you're not. But I want to notice a couple of words in this parable that I think are really kind of the sweet spot of the parable. It says that the farmer plants the seed, and it says night or day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Here's my favorite words. Though he does not know how. Though he does not know how. The reason I mention that is that every once in a while I do emphasize being a people of growth, and I notice that sometimes Christians feel guilty about that. Lord, am I growing enough? Pastor Walt, am I growing enough? I sometimes feel dissatisfied with my spiritual walk. This is what I like to say about it. When it says he does not know how, I think that means that a lot of times at any one moment, you might feel that your growth is very small, maybe even imperceptible. But if you look backwards 10 years ago, have you grown from then to now? You see what I'm saying? So in any given moment, you say, I don't feel like I'm growing enough. Please drop the guilt thing, right? You are loved by Christ. He's doing a work. You know not how. But in him you grow. I love the phrase, he does not know how. And that's how it is. And then the parable of the small seed, the mustard seed, that tiny little seed. It's just like Ezekiel 17. The seed grows, becomes a plant, so all the birds can nest in it. That's about the church. But I want to say something. I think it's also about individual Christians. We say parable of the mustard seed. I sometimes like to call it the parable of the small seed. And I say that for this reason. Sometimes as adults, we diminish or we lack esteem of the faith life of kids. Have you noticed that? We sometimes sort of want to pat them on the head and say, you guys can sit at the kid table. We're going to have an adult conversation over here. And I'm not sure that that's right. Actually, I'm quite sure that it's not right. The Lord Jesus esteems the faith life of kids. And the one who says, let the little children come to me, I should let you know, confirmation is fun. Well, I think it's fun. I don't know if they think it's fun. I think confirmation is fun. Kids come into confirmation class and say, my teacher said this. What do you think? Or they say, my friends say this. Pastor, what do you think? That's a fun time, isn't it? Isn't that great for a kid to ask those questions? The parable of small seed says, don't demean the small seed. Feed it and nurture it. It'll grow and be fruitful. This is what it's saying. God takes the small thing and does a great thing. Right? If you're a teacher, you already know this stuff, of course, right? To see the growth in kids, it's exciting. God takes the small thing and does a great thing. So think of it. Whatever our circumstances, God is at work. Especially he's at work in Jesus Christ to give us eternal life and to make us grow. That's what these texts are about. That's true for confirmands. Guess who else is true for? Everybody here. That the Lord chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He takes the small tree and grows it into the big tree. That's confirmation, but that's all of us, our spiritual walk, to commend ourselves into the hands of the Lord and to grow in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.